Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. This is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. I'd like to continue here. I'd like to bless you today. Would like to pray that God would fill you with hope and fill you with courage, fill you with faith, fill you with the reality of what He wants to do with your life. And so I'd like to continue here with where the theme that we were speaking of in following after God in being vessels meet for the Master's use. I think we were, our topic here that we were following is that we are the dwelling place of the Most High God, and how that God wants to dwell in us, use us for His fulfillment of His plan that He has yet to carry out here in this earth in the remaining days that until His coming and when all things will be remembered no more. Things as we see them today will be remembered no more, and the spiritual things will then be exposed, and we will be able to see the battle for what it is. It's one of the things that has motivated me to speak so much on this topic, is that I have realized a few months ago that there is that day coming when all of a sudden the veil will be rolled back, the curtain in a sense will be rolled back, and things will be clearly seen, and we will be able to see the battle for what it is. We will be able to see the intensity of this war between good and evil, between God and Satan in the heavenlies. As it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The flesh and blood is just the working out of it. It's not the actual root of the struggle. The root of the struggle is between good and evil. And we are just instruments that yield to one or the other, depending on where our eyes are set upon. So I would like to encourage us to continue in these things. There's a few key things that I feel are important in order for us to have to walk in the full potential that Jesus Christ has for us. I have been burdened with the fact that I believe that there's many Christians who are not walking in the full potential that God has for them. In other words, it's a bit like like a plumber or an electrician who is only using a small percent of his tools that he has available for him. And therefore, he's passing up a lot of work that he actually could do if he would know about the tools that he has been overlooking for, you know, many years. And I believe that we as Christians have every tool available to us. I do believe that there are certain people with gifts that are different than others, but I do believe that especially if a group of Christians band together and work together in harmony, that there is hardly anything that Jesus does not have the answer for, that this group of men who have dedicated their lives for the cause of Christ will not be able to accomplish in Jesus' name with the power that they have in Christ. So I was reading here in Psalm 78. It says Psalm 78, it would probably be best if you'd read the whole chapter, if you find the chance to do it. It has 72 verses, but there's an amazing message in there, and it speaks to what I would like to express here. It talks about in verse 9 how the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And it says in the next verse, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as in a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of a fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depth. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their own lust. And it just goes on and on, we can clearly see here that the sin was not so much in doing wicked deeds as in fornicating or, you know, falling into wickedness such as the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But rather their sin was in turning back from the battle because of unbelief of what God can do. And you know, if we go back in the book of Revelation, there's two things that stand out first on the list of things that will keep us out of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I marveled as I read that in the first two verses, the first two words is fearful and unbelieving. And then after that comes the list of all the sins that a man commits. But to realize that the basic sin of Ephraim was not necessarily murder, it was not necessarily lying, it was not necessarily, you know, fornicating or adultery or your whole immoral sins. It was not necessarily that they were intermingling with the heathen. It was not necessarily that they were bowing down to idols and things like that. But their sin was that they had arrows and they had bows and they were armed, and yet they turned back. That was their only sin, the way it appears here. And I've been picking up on that so many times we are so focused on trying to avoid evil that we forget that there's actually a battle to be won by God's saints. There's actually, the battle is won. But God wants us to walk in that victory and actually carry it out in our own lives, the battle against, God's enemies. And so I do believe that, God has given us all the weapons of warfare, and he wants each one of us to be in a sense, faithful in the battle that God has placed us in. You know, it's hardly likely to assume that while Jesus walked the earth and had many battles to face and had much work to do, he was involved in people, he was involved in making disciples, he was involved in interacting with people, he was involved in healing the sick, and just a lot of things that he was involved with, and it's not likely to assume that we as followers of him can expect anything a whole lot different as far as, you know, using the resources and the gifts that God has given us for his purpose and pleasure. And I think that's what it talks about. If we do have a testimony, if we have been washed, if we have been cleansed by his blood, and we have been fitted with the whole armor of the gospel, I do believe that we are then intended, that it is intended for us to use that. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants us to walk in that victory of spiritual warfare. And, you know, it does bring with it, or it can bring with it, a sense of condemnation or a sense of maybe perhaps heaviness if all of our focus is on that. And I do want to just say that that's not my heart, is to bring out a burden, to place a burden on anyone that is too heavy to bear. But I just have a burden reading scripture that, especially here in America, that we are, you know, that we do not get caught up with the easy living lifestyle that is so much accepted and appreciated around us. And, you know, God has said many a time that that man, you know, goes his own way, and God is looking for people who, as we had mentioned earlier, who will offer them their bodies as living sacrifices for his purpose and his kingdom. And so it's not likely that the very person who came to save us and actually shed his blood and gave his life and agonized there in ministry for years, and then at the very end agonized with great drops of blood and actually gave his life in such a way, it's not likely to assume that we can expect just a life of floating along here in a bed of roses and in the end, you know, hear that blessed voice, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So somehow we as Christians, and this is my encouragement, somehow we need to find our way. And if we, you know, if we find ourselves at a place where we don't even realize there's a battle, I believe that it would do us well to ask God to take off the scales off of our eyes and to open our eyes to the intensity of the battle, and to give us just a glimpse of the reality of the spiritual reality of what's going on around us, so that we can see, so that we can press in, so that we can link hands with Jesus Christ and, you know, be part of his part of his army, part of his soldiers that will march into the kingdom of darkness and saving, doing the work of God. So I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you with Psalm 78 and to reflect on what God has done, what God has offered us, and what He desires to do with our lives, with our bodies, while we yet have life within us. And so that at some day that we can come to the end and that we have written a story with our lives that is pleasing and brings a sweet savor to our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. God be with you and bless you.